Shit.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Casey. Hi, my dear.
Hello.
She's got a Ramones hat on. What song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Oh, well, it's actually not a Ramones song. It's a Scorpion song, Dark Lady.
I don't know the Scorpions. I'm not cool enough.
Yeah, well, that one especially off that album, it's like from 1975, the Entrance album. It's like one of my all-time favorites.
Is this like metal?
Yeah, it's like the beginning. Metal and a psychedelic kind of.
What's like their most popular song? Like, would I know them?
Probably Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Okay, yeah.
Which is not my favorite, but that came a little later in the 80s.
Yeah, you know, there's certain artists where it's like there's a clear divide between like the 70s to the 80s, and it like
yeah.
Sucks once they get to the 80s. Okay, what's your favorite carbohydrate?
Pasta.
What kind?
I really like a good pappardelle or even like maybe a shell.
A nice shell.
I really, macaroni and cheese, shells and cheese, I think is like my all-time favorite food. So cheese and carbs.
Do you have like a go-to box?
I think it's Kraft Deluxe. I'm not a big Velveeta. The Velveeta shells, no. It's a little
weird. I love
weird.
Just like a classic Kraft.
Yeah. No, yes. I mean,
give
you
me
can't
that
deny.
Powder.
But you gotta know how to make it, though, because some people don't know what they're doing. I taught my father how to make mac and cheese when I was 5 years old because he didn't know that you have to boil the water first. Like, read the directions. He was
so what would he do? He would just put in the water and then just like put the time, then turn it on and just use that time?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a
Casey,
psycho.
I mean, when you say that you think that people need to know how to make it, I mean, I think most people know that part. So really paint the picture of what you're going to tell us about your childhood. I mean, shit.
Yeah, they had their issues.
That's so funny. Okay, cheese.
Oh, cream cheese.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Nice choice.
Yeah, you can make all kinds of sauces with it too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I used to just like eat it as a spoonful when I was left to my own device.
And then condiment.
I think mayonnaise, just because ranch is made out of mayonnaise and it's the base of so many dips and sauces.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, no. Casey, how did you find out you were an adult child?
I came to terms with it from you. I was introduced to the idea by my therapist, or just a random therapist that I found online, because I knew that there was something.
What do you mean, like on TikTok or like a therapist?
No. So I had never had health insurance in my life. And the first time I got a job that offered me health insurance, they had an app and you could see a doctor online. You could see a therapist online. And it was like, see a therapist in 1 hour. And so I was just like, boom, next person.
Okay, so what led you to that moment of saying, I need a therapy appointment in 1 hour?
I was pretty close to hitting my rock bottom or my emotional bottom. I was like on and off again, trying to get sober as a bartender in Aspen, which was silly and hard, and was dating another bartender who turned out was like one of the worst alcoholic, like secret, one of those secret alcoholics that I was just so enamored by him and so like under that spell, you know, where it's like you let them treat you like crap and then you beg for more the next day. It was bad. And so he had told me, you know, if he's going to consider me as a partner in a relationship, then I'm going to have to really work hard and really work on myself and really, really fix some things. Yeah, it was. So I wasn't really doing it for myself at that point. I was doing it for him because I was so desperate for him to accept me. And God, saying that out loud is
I know, girl. I get it.
Harsh.
You gotta laugh at it. You gotta laugh.
Yeah. Like, man, I was sad, said, sorry, lump Beth then. But it was really eye-opening. The therapist mentioned, he was like, well, did your parents drink? And I was like, well, yeah. So he's like, so check out Adult Children of Alcoholics, buy this book. And while I was at it, you know, to prove that I was going to work on myself and really take the steps that I had to take to be accepted by him, I bought the Loving Reparenting guidebook.
Oh, really? You started
Yeah.
There?
Yeah. Well, I didn't open it. I just bought it because I was still drinking. And I was like, see, I'm going to do this at
You would
some
like
point.
Get to dinner early and have your book open?
Yeah. So I bought those two books and I got, yeah, like 5 pages into the Adult Children of Alcoholics book. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I continued doing random bits of therapy until like our relationship just got worse and worse. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll take antidepressants. And then, yeah, the online therapy was pretty unreliable to me at that point. And I was on these pills and then like went to get a refill of my prescription and couldn't find my therapist. He just like completely disappeared off the face of the earth. And I didn't realize that I could just like go into the hospital and be like, hey, I'm not supposed to stop taking these. So I was like trying to slowly wean myself off of these pills. And by like within 3 days of me taking the last pill, I was in the hospital from hurting, like self-harm and just complete pretty much like psychosis. I'm never gonna try them again until, unless like a really good psychiatrist says that I should. Part of what got me sober in the end was I heard you talk about how, you know, depression, anxiety and everything is like all has to do with your brain chemistry. And you can't possibly think that you're going to heal your brain chemistry in any way if you keep messing with your brain chemistry, you know, like by drinking.
Well, the other part of it too is it's really hard for people to know like whether or not they're even depressed or not if they're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know, like, am I depressed or like, am I an alcoholic? Could be both.
Yeah, I've always known though that I was depressed. Ew. Interestingly enough, when I think I was about 12 years old, I would sleep so much and all the time. And like, well, from like 12 to 15. And I remember my dad calling it out and being like, you sleep so much. Are you depressed? And I'd be like, no, I'm a child. I don't even know what that means. You know, and he's like, okay, all right, I'll take your word for it. But like, I was very depressed. I couldn't even put words to it. And like, I learned so much from listening to you.
How did you find me?
I Googled adult children of alcoholics because that's what my therapist had suggested that book to me. And so I was like, well,
he might be
maybe
listening right now.
Hopefully, that'd be cool. I mean, he sure helped me until he disappeared.
Maybe he was bottoming out.
Maybe. But yeah, when I realized how much I resonated with that and that I have all of those laundry list items, like every single one of them, I was like, oh, I should start Googling this and find something that talks about it. And you were the first thing that popped up. You talked about how you had a book study of the book that I had. And I was like, well, this is fate. Like, this is what I need to be. And then yeah, within like the first 10 episodes I had written down, I'm like, okay, episode 4, episode 10, like revisit, like episode 20. I was taking notes, like which ones to listen to on replay. And it definitely, definitely learned so much. It opened my eyes so much to all different kinds of concepts that, and I had been in, when I got a DUI, 5 years ago, I had been in group therapy and was really forced to look at my drinking habits then and was still in so much denial. A couple years later, my best friend started a harm reduction organization, and I like trained to be a peer because I had all of this lived experience and I learned so much and still was like, yeah, this applies to everyone but me, or just like the harm reduction way made more sense because I could not ever envision a day of where I wouldn't ever drink again. Like I couldn't, I thought about going to a wedding and not being able to do the champagne cheers or whatever. And I was just like, there's no way. There's no way. I'm a bartender. This is my identity. And then by the time I actually like found a good therapist, he pointed out to me that I had built a life around alcohol. I wasn't born a bartender. I wasn't born with that identity. I created it for myself. And yeah, a lot of light bulb moments there in when it came to just addiction.
How long was it from finding that therapist to finding me on my podcast?
Almost exactly a year.
Okay. And when did you get out of that relationship?
I found the therapist in like September, October, and then we were done by June. And then I found your podcast the following, or that November.
And how did the relationship end?
In a ball of fiery flames. His drinking was out of control, and I was really just trying to help. Be like, well, you know, like, and I was still drinking too, but I just was able to say, I'm not going to drink tonight, and he was not, you know? And so it got to the point where I was like, okay, well, he was having terrible mood swings, and if he got past a certain number of shots, all of a sudden he would just lose his shit on me and start screaming at me for God knows what and call me names, and to the point where I would like have to lock myself in the spare room while he sat there screaming at the locked door for hours, and I would like try and like go to sleep or cry myself to sleep. And when he started threatening to leave me every other day, I'd been in previous relationships where I would get broken up with multiple times a day. And it's like, I would be able to take it for a few months, but it's like, yeah, you reach a certain point where it's like, I'm desperate for your love and your acceptance, and I'll do anything to get back into your good graces. And then you do it the next day. And then after being gaslit for so, you know, for like 3 months or whatever, I would just start to feel insane. Like I'm going crazy. What am I doing? I'm doing this to myself. Like there's one common denominator here, and that's me. And I keep saying that it's okay to treat me like this. So eventually it was like, okay, you're breaking up with me, then we're done. This isn't like yesterday. I'm over this shit. And then he like wasn't getting it through his head. And so I went out and slept with somebody else. And
were you guys sleeping together?
Yeah. It was terrible. It was a bunch of bad decisions on both parts, but I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to end until I really put a nail in the coffin. So I went out and sealed the deal.
You had someone put a nail in your coffin.
He proceeded to tear my apartment to pieces, broke my big smart TV, and I had to like call the cops to do a wellness check. And I tried to get a restraining order, and he was gone and left town within a couple weeks. So... And he's actually in recovery now too and stuff. So I guess it was like kind of good for both of us. We both stopped drinking after that. So, but yeah, you can't unsee or unhear those things when you're that deep into it. And I didn't realize like how badly the alcohol really was affecting me until I had gotten just like 6 months sober, and I was like, oh, I'm a different person now. So,
well, let's backtrack to your childhood.
Yeah, when I was 4, I think. I mean, that's when I start my memories start of there being like crazy fights and stuff between my parents, but apparently it had always been like that. So I really do wonder about the kind of trauma and stuff that I was exposed to before my memory even begins, because there's just some stuff that I'm like, how am I this messed up? But they officially broke up with each other. They were never married. That was always a big part of my story. People would ask me if when did my parents get a divorce, and I'd say, well, they were never married, so they can't get a divorce. They stopped living together when I was six, maybe seven, and like first grade. And I would spend split time between the two of them, and it was like perfectly evenly split. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at ones, and then, or Wednesday morning, and then Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday at the others, and then every other weekend. And they only lived like 10 miles apart from each other, so it was easy for me to just get on one school bus or get on the other school bus. But my mom really confided in my sister, and my dad really confided in me. I
Is your
learned
sister older or younger?
she's older,
How many years?
like 3.5 years older. And she remembers a lot more of the fighting, to the point where I feel like she was way more accepting of the break because she knew it was for the better. She was excited for there to not be so much yelling and chaos. But me, I didn't understand it. I didn't take it well. I was constantly trying to convince my dad that to ask my mom to marry him, and like trying to get them back together. And I remember her like me like kind of tricking them into like trying to get back together, and her she my mom just like was like, hell no. Like, I'm not falling for this. And because my dad she confided more in my sister, and my dad confided more in me, like I just felt so bad for my dad. But neither of them were very healthy. They were both alcoholic. My dad is so old school. I call it old school. Other people call it bigoted, it's his way of thinking, especially growing up, was a little bit more narrow. And my mom was the total opposite. She was very open, but also just like not emotionally present at all. She was very withdrawn, and like she went through a lot of trauma as a kid, and she was just very in her own world suffering with that. And my dad was very loud and made other people suffer from his childhood trauma. Like, he was very angry and she was very quiet. So yeah, they pretty much hated each other. And I learned by the time I was a teenager, I learned because they didn't even want to talk to each other, that I could tell one parent I was at one house and the other parent that I was at the other house, and do whatever the hell I wanted to do and run away to Denver or whatever, go hitchhike to another state, and they wouldn't even find out for a couple days. So it was interesting. I grew up as like a people pleaser and performer. I was a singer and a pianist. I played guitar, and my mom had me as a me and my sister as like childhood models. My sister was a childhood actress. She was in a couple films, a Warner Brothers film. And
Same.
yeah, and so we were kind of like, I don't know. When I look back at it, I'm like, were we just cash cows? Like, I didn't see any of that money, but at the same time, like, I can justify it by saying like, well, we went on plenty of vacations, and I used to tell everybody like I had a really great childhood, like just minus the family dysfunction. We would always joke that we put the fun in dysfunctional. But yeah, that whole That I learned in the codependency book that we were reading, that chapter that talked about how when one parent will confide in one child and the other in the other, It just creates war in the household, and the children will fight each other. And I was like, boom, like, oh, yeah, that just described my upbringing right there a lot. So,
What would you say that your roles were, or was it, did it differ by, because your relationship with your parents was so different?
yeah, well, initially when we were young, we were both hero children. And I really admired my sister and tried to be and do exactly everything like her. But eventually, when I really started acting out and I was like sick of being a perfectionist and sick of being a people pleaser, that's when I like found punk rock and decided that anarchy was the way and chaos and got into drugs at a really young age, and I became either the scapegoat or the, yeah, kind of like you, I was the patient or whatever,
Identified patient.
identified patient. Yeah. I mean, they didn't actually do anything about, like, they, like, I got arrested so many times that they thought like the courts would work it out and I'd be forced to do therapy and all this, but like that doesn't work when you're not, when you don't want the therapy, when you don't, when you're not receptive of the therapy, that you just put up walls and you're like, why am I here? I'm just a young kid experimenting. I'm just learning my place in life. I'm just, you know, when you're that young, you don't think that you can, anything can go wrong. And definitely shit went wrong for me. I got hep C when I was 15 years old, and then my mom was trying really hard at that point to send me to a boot camp or send me to one of those wilderness, like, get your kid in shape, whatever programs. And my dad, thank God, still had half custody over me, so he wouldn't allow it. And then they went to battle over custody for me when I was like 16, 17 years old. And I wasn't allowed at any of the trials. And I was so angry and like hated my mom for doing this and taking my dad to court when I was gonna be an adult in like 2 years. But another thing that I learned from you was you're still a child when you're a teenager. Like, as grown up as I thought I was, and as smart as I thought I was, I thought I knew everything, and I thought, and I was taking care of myself. Like, my parents being split, having split time with them, we were constantly left home alone. By the time my sister was 11, I was 7 years old, and they were like, oh, well, she's 11, that's old enough to babysit. And so, yeah, from 7 till I decided that I was going to start running away, we were left home alone after school for hours. Or my mom even had a babysitter that she would take us to over the weekend. And so she, like, when she had a certain weekend, she would
What
just
was she
drop us off at
doing?
the, I still don't know. Maybe working. We're going to say working because that, I mean, from the horrible stories that my dad told me, like, they would both talk so much shit about each other. And like, my dad told me terrible things about my mom and what she could be doing or what he saw. And like, when your mom drinks Jägermeister, she'll sleep with anyone, or, you know, and like all this when I'm like so young, that it was where my mind went. What I thought my mom was doing when she was gone was not good. But I'm, my dad also had multiple girlfriends at the same time. I got in trouble for telling one girlfriend about the other, and one like came over to our house and freaked out and left terrible voice messages on the answering machine because you know, like, I don't know. I really had my eyes opened about sex addiction yeah. That one's a rough subject to touch on because there's so much shame involved with that. Like you don't want to admit that your parents would do that kind of just right in front of your face. But, you know, I don't know how many times I heard my mom say, oh, you'll never remember this when you grow up. And yeah, I made a point to remember it when you say that kind of thing. Like,
okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway, night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating, gas, man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
And so talk about relationship with your sister growing up. What started to turn?
It turned around. So in around high school, she got into punk rock and she was partying. She was much more, she fit in with every single crowd. And I was a little bit more like, I had my popular friends who, as soon as they found out I was doing drugs, was like ostracized from. So then I just went like full punk rock, like shaved my head, and she had a bunch of punk rock friends too that we would all hang out together, and she would kind of like bounce back and forth between friend groups and didn't really know what I was up to the whole time. And so when it finally came out that I'd been shooting heroin and I got hep C, I think she took it really hard. I think she took it maybe like kind of her fault that she wasn't watching out for me. Cause I remember one night just like having a, I don't know if we were really crying as much as we were just like, we're squashing this. We're hugging each other. We're loving each other and we're squashing this. She's like, I had no idea that you were what you were up to, and I want to be your friend. Oh, that's gonna make me cry. And I still continued to act out. That was part of my identity at that point, and I had to be hardcore and keep up with it. And until
you had to
one
be
time,
hardcore and keep up with it. You know?
I mean, you know, I don't know what it was. My identity. It was who I was. Like, my name is Casey. People call me crazy. Like, that was me. I was fucking crazy. And one time I almost died. I almost overdosed. And we actually were able to talk about this recently. And, you know, like, it fucked me up. Turning blue, you know? But she was right there trying to revive me. And I didn't really consider how that affected her, you know. And I mean, she kind of like yelled at me like, don't ever do that again. And so yeah, I that kind of straightened me out, but a little bit. But I just drank more, but I stopped using the harder drugs as much, for sure. And so when I was, you know, hitchhiking around and running away, she wasn't really doing any of that stuff in high school. I think her and my mom had a much better relationship. Like, my mom would even let her have friends over and they could drink and smoke pot, but I wasn't allowed to have friends over and drink and smoke pot or whatever. So she never like had the desire to run away and like go find a place to do these things. She was allowed to do it at home and I wasn't, for some reason. And so when she turned 22, she hit the road and lived out of her backpack for 13 years. She started in South America, traveled across South America. She learned Spanish fluently and became a musician, and then came back to America, would go back and forth across America. She backpacked across Europe. She spent time in Africa. Like, she really got the hell away. And in part of me getting sober, I realized that I kind of had like abandonment issues from that. But like, I didn't blame her ever for doing it. And she was like, yeah, like our family was crazy. Like, I just needed to get away from you guys. And realizing now how fucked up it kind of was, and how like there was always this either an unspoken grudge, or like we were playing each other against each other. Like, yeah, it was always uncomfortable. So she got away from it, and now she's been sober, I think, for like 6 years. I have cousins that, because alcoholism is in the family, they've gotten sober. And so I was like, yeah, maybe I just need to realize that this is in our DNA. And I got on the bandwagon and have learned so much. And now, me and my sister, every time we get together, it's just like so much hashing out of the childhood. There's so, because I remember everything, and she suppressed most memories.
Interesting.
So yeah, so we use each other, and there are some things that she remembers that I don't, but we definitely can use each other's like experience to be like, oh, that was what happened, or oh, that's why this is this way. Or it's really, really healing the last year. I'm about to come up on my year mark of no alcohol, and the amount of growth and the amount of knowledge that I've acquired is just, it's so liberating. And being able to, like, as nervous as I am to say it, like, when it comes down to it, if my parents ask me, like, well, this is what I'm up to, this is, how you thought you raised a lunatic. Well, this is why. I've learned so much, and this is what not to do, and this like why they separated.
No, like what are they up to now? Like how is their
I think, well, my mom went a long time without really, well, so when they first separated, my dad was very open with all of his relationships. He would have multiple at a time. And my mom, I think she would, but she would hide it from us. She was so secretive. A lot of her past was very, very secretive. And she remarried eventually when I was 19 years old. And once she was married, I think that's when my dad finally was like, realized that he had really no chance with her anymore. I don't know. I think, or maybe when she took him to court, he realized that he had no chance with her anymore.
No, she's just plain hard to get.
So they still don't. They don't call each other. They don't talk to each other. They are not in communication at all whatsoever. My dad asks once in a while how my mom is doing. She never asks about him. It's kind of just like a need to know kind of relationship. They live 30 miles apart. Like, they're still pretty much in the same valley. And but also it's kind of small town vibes too, so they could ask a friend and find out, they could through the grapevine or whatever if they
Did
really
they grow up
wanted to
with each
know.
other?
No,
No.
my mom's from the Denver area, my dad grew up on a farm in South Dakota. They're very different. She's urban, not, or she was. She's more of a wilderness person now, I guess. That's, I think, the one thing that they got along with was that they liked to go camping and drink beer. You
And are they
know?
both still drinking?
Yeah, my dad loves to tell me how much he doesn't drink anymore. And it's not a lot. I mean, he's 73, so hopefully he's not drinking every single weekend anymore. But, and my mom is in her 60s, and she probably drinks more than my dad still. But it's interesting because she never ever talked about alcohol at all. My dad always loved to ask me, like, you know, or even come drink with me, but on my mom's side of the family, they're all drink. It's like whenever, every Christmas, everything's any family gathering, like there's a cooler of beer in the garage. It was like we used to joke about it, like, oh, this is a Criswell gathering. Of course there's gonna be alcohol. So, you know, there are times where I see her go out to dinner and not have a drink, and I'm like, oh wow. But then there are times where, like, yeah, when the family's together, where I'm like, oh yeah, there's no way that she's not gonna drink. So
And what is your sister's relationship like with them?
my sister really gets along well with mom, always has, and there's some weirdness between her and my dad for sure. There was always weirdness in their relationship. When my sister was conceived, my dad wasn't 100% sure that it was his, so that she was his. So he, like, to be fair, my sister was born on my dad's birthday before cell phones. So my dad was out on a hunting trip when my mom was in the hospital giving birth to my sister. My mom begged my dad not to go because she knew that Laura was going to be born any minute. And he went anyways, and she was born. And so my mom spitefully left my father off of the birth certificate. So my sister had got my mom's last name, and my dad was so upset about this, and there was no work in the area at the time. So he moved across the country for work and was absent for the first year of my sister's life. And she's now just like realizing this. I was like, don't you remember them telling us this and like all the stories? And she was like, oh my God, that's why I don't like dad. I'm like, yeah, you never like bonded with him or as a baby.
And also, what has your mom said to her about your dad, too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I called my mom out on that when I was like 12 years old. I was like, "You're brainwashing us against our father." And but also, like, also you weren't there. And also that really pissed mom off. And you left her to raise a child alone for a year. And then he came back, and then they got all sweet, and then I was born. And then it turned right back into the old arguments
Fun and
and
games.
oh yeah. Yeah. So it was a lot of back and forth, and that's why I always like secretly hoped they'd get back together. The learning about that, you know, the grief that I have over the family that will never be was life-changing. That was a huge aha moment for me that I've been like mourning this lack of a family my whole life and didn't really put it together because I just buried it so deeply. And by the time I gave up, I just gave up on everything and just went hard into drinking and drugging.
So, from what you were sharing about your relationships, I mean, it sounds like similar patterns to me of just be unemotionally unavailable people who didn't really want to be with you.
Oh yeah, 100%. The broken picker syndrome. Oh my God. I liked the challenge, or you know, people who I thought were too good for me or too cool for me. They were like a major prize once I finally got them. But there was an episode about limerence that blew my mind because there was one guy my whole life until pretty much that episode that I'd like kind of just cut off contact with, because almost every single relationship I ever had, I would cheat on that person just for him. Like, and he would never ever have a relationship with me. Like, even when we, the last time we really tried, he was like, well, let me move in with you, but I want the spare bedroom as my bedroom. Like, so when I'm at work, you can have whoever over. Like, what? You want to be with me, but you're not going to share a bedroom with me? You want to move in with me? What? And I don't like, I thought I
You're like,
seriously
oh,
considered
okay,
it. I did. You know what I did instead? I just paid full rent all by myself, had two jobs to do it, and let him stay there whenever the hell he wanted to.
of course.
So I pretty much just gave him the milk for free. Anyways,
Thank
yeah. So there was
you.
like maybe one good boy that I dated. And I was like so not into it.
Boring.
Boring. I don't like that you actually give me attention and whatever and
Yeah, you
love and
like
care
me.
about
You
me.
actually
Oh
like
my
me.
God. Yeah.
Well, I think you've talked about a lot of like ahas and growth. Is there anything that you wanted to share that you haven't had an opportunity to?
I do know that there were one thing or many, many things that I learned from your podcast was the different types of therapy that there are, like EMDR and EFT and IFS and the somatic therapies and stuff. So I think that's worth mentioning just because, like, there's more than just talking to a random person.
Person, yes.
Yeah, like there are so many modalities, and just mainly how grateful I am for you and how your story really, really helped me so much, because like I said, like I always told people, like my childhood was great, it was fine, but you know, hearing from other people who also had quote unquote fine childhoods, but realize like how messed up they are from it. And not to like compare myself, but it's really helpful to hear like, man, this person has been struggling with these issues and your parents are still together. Like, what does that mean about me? Or, you know, and like I said, I don't like comparing, but it just really helped me open my eyes to like maybe you don't think it's that bad, but like really take a look at it. Like, it's probably way worse than you thought, especially if you have all 14 traits. Like, there's no way that it was hunky dory and peachy keen. Like,
No
something
band.
happened. Yeah.
There's
So,
something,
and I'm
there's
just
something
so
there there.
grateful. I'm just so grateful that, you know, listening. It took me 5 months of listening to your podcast, binging it and ruminating to decide that if I want to work on this, I need to get sober. And if I want to join the community and like actually walk the walk instead of just talking the talk, like I'm gonna start doing things. I'm gonna start making steps and taking action. And I just appreciate the community and your vulnerability and just everybody being so open and honest and you know, sharing struggles. It's really the power of me too, you know, it's really, really moving and life-changing. So
It's
I'm
been
very
amazing
grateful.
watching you grow and all the light bulb moments, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're still happening too.
Me too,
And
girl.
yeah. I share with my sister a lot, and she was like, would it be okay? You think you think it's worth it? Should I join the community? And at first I was like, well, this is, this space.
Place,
Yeah, I was like, well, this space has like really helped me a lot. And I was kind of like scared at first because of how open and how vulnerable we are. I was like, well, maybe she'll hear some things that, but she's my sister. Like, I'm gonna tell her eventually anyway. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm still waiting to see if she's gonna join, but hopefully she does, and I'm sure she'll get just as much out of it as I do. So
there's at least one active sister couple in the group, so.
yeah, I mean, I don't see how it would be a bad thing.
Yeah, no, as long as you guys seem like you're on good terms, I just would, it would only not be a good thing if it somehow didn't become a safe space if she was there for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know I've heard from other people how much they struggle with their sibling relationships, and I'm like so lucky that we were able to get on board with, just agreeing about her past and not being in denial of.
I love that you guys are able to connect on all that stuff.
Yeah, it's ultra healing.
Thanks, darling.